Hello and welcome to the positive side of the radio spectrum. This is the Sonny Melendrez Show, and every week we strive to bring you entertainment and inspiration through storytelling, fascinating guests, exclusive celebrity interviews, and it's all delivered with lots of enthusiasm. And I promise that today's show is going to be out of this world. So prepare for liftoff.
3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff of the Falcon 9 and Crew Dragon. Go NASA. Go SpaceX. Godspeed, Bob and Doug.
The Scobee Planetarium and the Scobee Education Center are located on the campus of San Antonio College in San Antonio, Texas, and are named in honor of former San Antonio College student and NASA astronaut Francis R. Dick Scobee, commander of the Space Shuttle Challenger's final flight. It is also the home of the Challenger Learning Center, designed to take young students on exciting space missions in a fully imaginative mission control and space station. The Scobee Education Center aims to carry on the Space Shuttle Challenger crew's educational mission to spark interest and joy in science, technology, engineering, and math. It's a pleasure to welcome the director of the Scobee Education Center, Rick Varner. Rick, nice to have you here.
Thank you for including us on your program today, Sonny. We are thrilled to be here. We're thrilled to be anywhere, actually, during the COVID-19 era. With us today, my planetarium coordinator, Michelle Rissi, and my coordinator for all other academics, our Challenger Learning Center, is Heather Aguillon. And so they're coming to us from all different parts of San Antonio.
Excellent. Well, I always start out by asking my guest, as a child, were you interested in the stars and space travel, Rick?
You know, it's funny, is I was thinking about this the other day because I lived in Florida for a long time, but earlier than that, I lived in Connecticut, and during the winter, my parents would stack these long chaise lounge type chairs in a closet in the basement during the winter.
Yeah.
And my brother and I would lay out into these chairs in the closet and pretend we were in a space capsule. And, you know, this is before the moon landing. So we were thinking like Mercury, Gemini. We were Gemini astronauts, two astronauts together. But as my academic, you know, my career went on, I went into education. That was my passion. And I was just fortunate enough to be recruited to a NASA teacher program. And then the chapters unfolded to bring us where we are now.
And the rest is history. How about you, Heather?
Well, I am born an educator. I was, as a child, I would set up my Barbies and my stuffed animals all out on the floor with little index cards with their names as like desk seating assignments. And I would teach them everything I learned at school that day. And I had a little friend who was a year younger than me. And so the homework that I would get, I would bring home and teach it to her and then make her do my homework for me. So I, of course, as an adult, grew up to be a teacher. I was a public school teacher for 12 years and very, very gratefully landed at Scobee's door.
And isn't that something that you both had really the vision of what it is you wanted to do, and you didn't know how to do it, but you just kind of, you know, improvise with your Barbies. I had a teacher of the year that I was with in a program, and she told me that same story. When she was in second grade, she would go home and put her stuffed animals on the bed and pretend like she was teaching. And at Christmas time, she wanted an overhead projector.
Yeah, my parents always did my Christmas shopping at Office Depot.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay, Michelle, how about you?
Well, my original hometown is Twin Falls, Idaho, so I grew up in the Idaho desert. And so when I was about 12 years old, my folks said, hey, they got a local star party, let's go to it. And I got to see Saturn's rings for the first time through a telescope, and I was hooked because I wanted to learn more and more and more. And so my family and I would go out in the middle of nowhere with a telescope and look up at the sky, and I would ask a bunch of the older folks in the astronomy group, I was that obnoxious kid that kept asking questions and kept saying, wow, that's so cool. And I just kept learning and learning, and I just wanted to learn more. And I enjoyed sharing my passion for the sky and enjoyed telling people, no, seriously, this is really, really cool.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, it's amazing. I really believe that, the child in us stays with us for the rest of our lives. And when we have that childlike curiosity, we're able to literally bring that not only to our students, but also to our own lives and continue to have that incredible wonder. Don't you believe?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Now, Rick, I have to, I believe that you have so many wonderful things that are going on at the Scobie Education Center. Fill us in on some of the things that are so exciting. You know, this podcast is heard not only in San Antonio, but around the world. We're in 30 countries now. So you have a worldwide audience that you can not only share your wonderful news with, but also let them know how they can go online to further their education through Scobie.
Well, certainly the Scobie Education Center grew from the Scobie Planetarium, which was at the San Antonio campus back as early as 1961. We added the Challenger Center in 2014. And since that time, we've really made a point of delivering very unique immersive activities for students and community on our campus. So even though we've done things online and we've worked in schools, this has really shifted our paradigm as to how we deliver things remotely. And the idea that we have such a unique and talented staff that, just like all the other teachers around the world, in a week's time, they shifted gears, and it didn't take long to get into high gear in producing some of these new virtual activities. We've already been involved in a downlink with the Dragon crew. Just shortly after they docked with the space station, the Challenger Learning Center provided our Teacher of the Year the opportunity to ask a question of them. And so Brianna Ramirez has a video out there online right now. And connected to that, kind of a follow-up, we're going to be talking with Erica Alvarez, who's an engineer at the Marshall Space Flight Center, on July 22nd at 1 p.m. in Central Time. And Erica actually has worked on, you ask people what they do and you have to kind of step back when they actually do these things. She worked on the rocket engines for the space shuttle and for the new lunar lander that's eventually going to bring people to the surface of the moon again. And so that's her real job, not her I make believe I do this in my fantasy science fiction world job. And so we're going to have, actually, Heather is going to be the interviewer. She's going to ask those questions of Erica. And we're going to ask the followers on Facebook and in our social media to actually submit questions to us through a new email we've set up that is sac-askscobie@alamo.edu. And those questions will go into Heather, and we'll put them together, and she'll actually include them in the interview. We've also had some of the young ladies who were in our Artemis Academy camp, which is an all-girls camp that was scheduled to be held that very same week. And so we're trying to reach out to them to actually include them in the Zoom interview, like we're recording the questions and answers here, so that they can actually be in there live with Eric and ask those questions. And so that too, because it's on a Facebook event, will stream live and then be archived so that anybody can pick it up. And we've actually shared that out with our other Challenger centers, because there are Challenger centers all over the world as well.
Exactly. And how great that that somebody from San Antonio, Brianna Ramirez, was able to submit her her question. And of course, we watched it live as the crew answered it from space. What's your burning question, Heather, that you're going to ask at this next event?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, in researching a little bit about Erica and her life and her job, she's been a leader on a lot of different projects that she's worked on. And so I'm really curious about her style of leadership, you know, where that was born. You know, has she had, you know, great bosses, bad bosses? You know, we sometimes learn the best from the bad bosses too. I'm kind of interested in where she got her, you know, her leadership style.
There's got to be something that's a burning question of, as much as you know about space and space travel, what is it that you'd still would like to know in your curiosity? Rick, you go first.
You know, it's I had a chance to work at the Goddard Space Flight Center as an education specialist. And after the Hubble Space mission to update and repair the telescope, I brought some high school students into the clean room there. And one of the engineers brought me over to this big black case and apart from the kids and said, "Hey, wait, you want to smell space?" And I thought, this sounds like an alien add-on chapter. And he said, "No, really, this is really cool." And he opened up the toolbox that had last been closed outside of the Hubble Space Telescope. And it smelled like ozone, kind of like a lightning storm. And,
wow.
And so after that, that was one of my cool NASA moments or memories. But one of the things I thought about after that is, you know, and I referenced the alien movies, they've always said in space, no one can hear you scream. I wondered what other sensory types of stimuli would be there. You're in your spacesuit. It's your own little spacecraft. What are you become more aware of in that very unique little environment?
Yeah. And, what an amazing experience that would be, you know. So how about you, Michelle?
I guess my next question, burning question would be in terms of the astronomical side of what's the next thing to observe? I mean, we have the new James Webb telescope that's soon to be up and launched as a replacement from Hubble. So what are some of the projects that they plan to be able to observe through the heavens, and what unique discoveries will we come up across next? I mean, I can remember back when we first saw some of the images from Hubble of the deep space field and just seeing all those galaxies and how it literally opened up a huge field of cosmology just from that one image, and how we're now taking images of black holes. So what's the next big image that's going to open up a wide variety of different fields and more research and quite literally blow people's minds?
Just like Hubble did when it first went up. Hubble just celebrated, what, 30 years? Did they imagine that it would take, or the life of Hubble would be about 30 years? Or has it
no,
gone longer?
No, actually, it was a much shorter time frame.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because it was in low Earth orbit, we were able to go up and make repairs. When James Webb goes into orbit, it'll be in the infrared shadow of the moon, more than half a million miles away from us in one of the Lagrange points. And so to send people out there would be the equivalence of the asteroid mission they're talking about. So it would be a really huge thing. That's why it's taking so long to actually get to build and launch James Webb, because they got to get it right. They can't say, well, you know, we're going to go out four or five times and make repairs and fix things. But
and how long will it take to get there?
That's something I don't know the answer to. I know it takes us 2 to 3 days to get to the moon, and it should be almost that far past the moon. So I'm guessing within a week's time, it should be able to reach orbit.
Incredible. All right, Heather, what's your burning question?
It's a little different from Rick and Michelle's. I truly, truly would love to sit and share a meal with Krista McAuliffe and just pick her brain about it, the teacher side of what her plans were to do. I would have questions, you know, about her lessons in space, but also what she would have planned to do once she came back from her mission, and how she would have used her time in space to continue teaching kids and inspiring them.
I have to share with you, people ask me, is there anything you've done or haven't done that you still like to do? And I always tell them that I would like to broadcast from space, and to be able to, you know, to do a radio show from space with that perspective. You can imagine, each of you. And I understand that according to one of the answers, that was Brianna Ramirez's question, was how soon will it be that people like us can go into space? And the answer was in the next 10 to 20 years.
That will be a commercial venture. And so they are very driven. They really have already sent up space tourists, but each of those individuals has been extremely wealthy. You know, those are like $50 million a seat wealthy. So for you and I to be able to go up there and do something from the space station is probably in a whole different budget range than we're used to.
Maybe we'll win a contest.
There you go. You know, maybe we'll have one of the, you know, Musk or one of the others will just send that blessing our way.
Never say never. Okay. So I want to ask you about, the tagline for a new program is called Explore Space in Your Space. And it comes back to the idea that, you know, we're all at home and there's a way that we can continue to learn. Tell me about that.
So we have been doing a lot of things virtually, like everybody else has right now. And we had a conversation a couple weeks back about the overabundance of virtual options for families now and how that can sometimes feel a little overwhelming for parents. And so we decided to change it up a little bit and have a physical newsletter style distribution to go out, and we're calling it SCOBY to Go. And so the tagline is Explore Space in Your Space. And so what we've done is the team of educators has put together several, like I said, newsletter style flyers to go out. And we are looking for folks, churches, businesses, nonprofits, school campuses who'd like to be a distribution point for those. We've got quite a few right now. So I wanted to say thank you to Girls Inc. of San Antonio, the Boys and Girls Club, Idea Carver. They have all signed on, and it's free to the families, free to the distribution points. We just want to get some, you know, physical things in the hands of San Antonio community. We know that there's a big digital divide here, and so we wanted to make sure that we were able to touch all of San Antonio, not just the people who had access to the internet.
That's wonderful. And by the way, we'll have links to all of the things that we've been talking about here on the show notes at sunnyradio.com/show. We'll give you that address at the end of the program. So Heather, tell me, are you involved at all in the Micronauts program?
Well, my time at SCOBY, I'm still pretty new. It's still been within the year. And so I've gotten to observe several of the Micronaut amazing days that we bring the little ones in. We do parent trainings, we do teacher trainings, and then of course we have the kiddos come in. So at this point, I'm still a learning observer, but Rick could probably tell you a little bit more about the details. But basically, we bring in the little munchkins here in San Antonio, pre-K all the way to second graders, and they come in for a modified simulated mission to the International Space Station.
I think it's incredible that you can adapt this program to their attention span. Rick gave me a tour, and you know, we're actually working on experiments in twos. Explain how that happens, Rick.
When the commander for the mission sets up the mission, they actually work with the parents and teachers, and so they have a pre-mission professional development program. So the parents who are chaperones are actually partners with the kids. And so there's an adult for every two children. So they move around with them. And we bring in lower size tables, and basically these tables would be too low for middle school kids, which the spacecraft is designed for. But for the younger kids, they stand, you know, at desktop arm level for them. And so it's perfect. And they encompass a whole range of STEAM activities for early emerging learners. And it's very colorful. I mean, the primary vibe from the setup is apparent as soon as you walk through the doors. And when the kids come in there, they really do think that they've gone to space.
Yeah.
And they launch through our launch room, just like the middle school kids, and they come back and they're pretty confident that they've gone into orbit already. And really part of our vision is not just to give new opportunities to the children, but to give that vision to their parents, because very often our parents hold a vision of where their child will be as an adult professionally. And we make many decisions every single day along that pathway. And so they are a child's first teacher. And we want them to also keep in their heads, this is a STEM career pathway, and my child could be a scientist, an engineer, a technician, whatever. And so, yeah, they are very much immersed with their children.
Can you imagine if each of you had been able to go to the Micronauts program when you were 5 years old? I mean, you'd be astronauts by now, right? How about you, Michelle? Are you involved in the program?
Indirectly, I provide the planetarium shows for the young kids so that way they can become inspired with education through a dome media. And all the kids always enjoy going into the planetarium dome and basically seeing a big, huge movie theater that's above their heads. They always think it's so cool that the movie screen is above their heads.
And they're listening to your voice each time, right?
And my voice in the sometimes videos and things like that. So just hearing the kids saying, wow, that's so cool, is always inspiring. But I often help with the Micronaut missions in a tertiary way by helping like set up the areas and things like that.
Now, we mentioned that the Planetarium, the SCOBE Education Center, the Challenger Learning Center, all located on campus of San Antonio College in the middle of San Antonio, Texas. And because of COVID-19, much of the funding that has come from outside sources, especially from those Friday nights when people come, the kids come and they're looking at the planetarium, adults as well, has not happened. So how can anyone listening right now, Rick, get involved and possibly be a part of this program?
Much of what we do is through our social media right now. And Roxanne Barrera is the coordinator who works with our donors and with the granting organizations. She takes in any of the donations or fields the questions from potential donors who would like to either have their corporation or their personal interest engaged in what we do. The Harvey Najm Foundation, for example, has for the last few years provided us with scholarships for Title I schools to run missions and planetarium shows. They've allowed us to freeze the monies that would have been spent during this time. So it's kind of waiting for those scholarships when we resume again. AFSEA, the Alamo chapter, has also done that. And they sponsored the full length and breadth of the Artemis Academy and the Girls STEM Summit, which both also went on hold as a result of this. So those are two examples of organizations that have supported us. Individuals like Eileen Collins, Dr. Stephen Fusilier, who work with us, they donate money directly to us for use at the center or for student programs. And there's always things that, these are for the children. It's not really donations to us. It's really more donations to the teachers and the kids. Where we are right now is with not having any revenue since March and really more than likely through to January, being able to keep support staff and to try to keep moving ahead so we don't fall behind. Because in our business, and I think Michelle and Heather will tell you that whenever we interviewed to take their respective jobs, one of my comments to them was, get used to the response. Nobody's ever asked me that before. We've never done that before. Well, that's what SCOBY is. We always try to do something a little bit differently than what is typical for where we are. And that's how we spread those visions and the horizons. And it's harder to do that when you don't have a revenue stream to try new things and to experiment and improve.
So how can they reach you? They go to the website?
Probably through our SAC website, the SCOBY Education Center site at San Antonio College, through our Facebook page. Those are probably the two easiest ways to do that. And Roxanne is a direct link to each of those. She's kind of our social media guru as well. And she follows up with all the comments. She's been talking to aviation industries around us now for the last 2 weeks as we try to expand some exhibits in that particular field.
Excellent. All right, I have one last question for each of you. Do you think there is life other than Earth out there? And if you do, do you think we'll make contact in the near future? Rick?
I love the line from the movie Contact that if there wasn't something out there, it would sure be a waste of a lot of space. I would hope that they would contact us because that would mean that they're brighter than we are. Because it's going to take us a very long time to get out there and get back again, to go where no person has gone before.
How about you, Michelle?
I honestly do believe that it is a possibility. I mean, the most tenacious life form on our planet Earth is bacteria, so the chances of even having a microbe on another planet is pretty good. And there's several planets, almost half of the stars in our galaxy have planets, so the chances of having an Earth-like planet or a planet sustainable for life is pretty good. So the chances of having a life form on another planet is favorable. And in terms of them contacting us, hard to say. I mean, part of me hopes to be able to contact them, but I know it would be a major shock to a lot of people to be able to reach out. Plus, we have been, in a way, for a long time, reaching out to the stars with the first broadcast of the 1942 Olympic Games out into space. So we've been sending signals out into space for a long time. So who knows, maybe somebody will pick it up and send something back.
I hope so. All right, so how about you, Heather?
I am very hopeful that we are not alone in this universe. I believe as a species, we still have a lot to learn. And so the possibility of contact with somebody else who may be doing it better than we are, I think would be a great learning opportunity for us to come together.
Well, I can tell you that I could speak to you for hours about this subject, and I know that now we're all on the same page as far as life out there. I want to say thank you so much and congratulations to all the work, the hard work that you're each doing. I know that Dr. Vella, president of San Antonio College, is equally proud of what it is you do and the incredible prestige that you bring to San Antonio College and our city, as well as the other learning centers across the country who are all sharing with the information. So my applause to you. I say bravo to everything that you all are doing. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, son.
Well, that's my visit with SCOBY Education Center Director Rick Varner, Planetarium Coordinator Michelle Rissi, and Academic Coordinator at the Challenger Learning Center, Heather Aguillon. You'll find all the links we talked about to the center and San Antonio College at sunnyradio.com/show. That's sunnyradio.com/show. Until next time, I'm Sonny Melendrez. And I leave you with a quote from the Space Shuttle Challenger commander, the late Francis R. Dick Scobey, who said, "When you find something that you really like to do, and you're willing to risk the consequences of that, you really probably ought to go do it." Bye-bye.